ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Some days it's interest rates. Some days it's the share market. Some days it's the price at the servo. But the business story is never just business. I'm Carrington Clark, host of ABC Business Daily. From Monday to Thursday, I'm joined by the ABC's business reporters to break down the biggest stories in business, finance, and the economy. And on Fridays, Alan Kohler jumps in the chair for That's Business, sitting down with industry leaders, movers and shakers, CEOs and founders to talk to the people leading and building the economy. All in the same ABC Business Daily feed. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump keeps saying a deal with Iran to end the war is close, but there are still no signs of it, with Iran and the US engaged in retaliatory strikes and Israel pushing further into Lebanon. So, can the US president still get out of the war? And how far is Israel prepared to go in its fight against Hezbollah, amid reports it's dropping toxic white phosphorus on Lebanese towns? Today, Randa Slim, Director of the Middle East Program at the Stimson Centre, on the tit-for-tat warfare. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Randa, the war in Iran, as of this week, has been underway for more than 100 days. But on NBC's Meet the Press, Donald Trump said it's not an endless war.
I don't like these endless wars. This is not an endless war. We've been doing this for 3 months. Much of it has been under the form, a pretty good form of ceasefire. The blockade has been amazing. Our Navy is amazing.
What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it has lasted so far 100 days, and the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Vance, who is leading the negotiations with Iran on behalf of the United States, says the deal can come next week, within days, or it can come within months.
No, I think we're going to know a lot before the midterm elections. Look, I think that the deal could happen in the next week, but the deal could also happen months from now.
And Mr. Trump has been promising an end to this war and an agreement to be signed. So far, he has done it more than 30 times.
Soon it will be over.
I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe a couple of days longer to do the job.
We've done a hell of a job, and I think we're going to be finished with that very quickly.
We're very close to having a deal, and if we don't have a deal, we'll do it one way or the other. Either way, we win.
I think what he's trying to do, he always does it prior to the beginning of the stock market, so that he can manipulate the market with this information. Look, he ran on this ticket as a president on the promise of ending endless war, of not bringing the United States into endless war. And here he is.
Yeah, so Donald Trump, he actually campaigned for the presidency on a promise to keep America out of new wars. And during that same interview with Meet the Press, he said he never guaranteed that.
What changed? Because you insisted no new wars.
First of all, I didn't guarantee no war. Why would I have built the strongest military in the world? I built on
that. Donald Trump keeps saying a deal is close, but the fighting has resumed in the war with Iran firing on Israel across the weekend, and now the US retaliating after Iran shot down a US military helicopter.
Things can escalate. It's a slippery slope.
Iranian state media says the port city of Sirik and Keshem, an Iranian island in the Strait of Hormuz, have both been attacked.
The US military says it has begun launching what it calls self-defense strikes against Iran after the US president accused Tehran of shooting down a US helicopter near the Strait of Hormuz.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard says it has attacked the US Navy's 5th Fleet base in Bahrain with drones.
Supposedly we have a ceasefire since April, but it has been a ceasefire on paper, and it has been violated on numerous occasions by all the parties concerned here. And the more of these violations happen, the higher the probability or the likelihood of an error taking place and then leading to resumption of major hostilities. And what we are seeing increasingly, linkages between the two fronts, between what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz and what's happening in Lebanon. Israel is an ally of the United States and Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. But also, these parties can have their own agendas, and especially Israel, and especially Mr. Netanyahu. And so they can present major challenges to any efforts at negotiation that's taking place between the U.S. and Iran. With respect to Israel, we are seeing Mr. Trump has some leverage over Mr. Netanyahu, but at the same time, there are limits to his leverage. Mm. And Mr. Netanyahu is waging a war in the midst of a re-election period, and the war is popular in Israel. And so he has his own political interest to also look at.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump, he says he's calling the shots. But as we saw when Israel retaliated against Iran, Donald Trump had told Benjamin Netanyahu not to do that. So is he still calling the shots in your view, Donald Trump? Does he still have control?
He thinks he does. Mm. But the events and the developments on the ground show this is not the case, at least all the time. You know, Mr. Netanyahu did not respond to his request of not retaliating. And the fact that Mr. Trump had to respond to the shooting down of the helicopter, the American helicopter, sends a message to Mr. Netanyahu that if he's attacked again, he's going to respond, and Mr. Trump will not be able to say to him, do not respond, because he will say to him, well, when your helicopter was shut down, you had to respond. You had to maintain deterrence.
So, Randa, why don't we consider now more deeply what is happening in Lebanon? Israel is edging further and further into Lebanese territory, isn't it? Just tell me what we are seeing.
The level of destruction, the kind of destruction that's happening, the basically total destruction of villages. There was an order of evacuation of a major city, the city of Tyre in southern Lebanon, including Christian quarters, which in the past Israel has been reluctant to attack Christian communities or Christian quarters in a city. Other parts of Lebanon are also coming under attack. We have seen recently southern suburbs of Beirut being attacked near the capital. We have seen eastern part of Lebanon being attacked. You have more than a million Lebanese out of 5 million displaced now, internally displaced. You have an economy that has already been under stress, that's even put under further stress by the demands of these IDPs, internally displaced people. And so there is fear if this internal displacement crisis continues and protracts, that it's going to have socioeconomic implications for the country and it's going to threaten civil peace in the country.
And the death toll in Lebanon, according to the health ministry, is more than 3,600 and climbing, we presume.
More than 10,000 injured. A lot of these also wounded are children, children who have lost either one parent or both parents. And remember, I mean, the hospital system in Lebanon is also under stress economically, but also in terms of capacities.
Well, Randa, let's just step back for a moment so we can get a better sense of why Israel is so determined to continue this fight against Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah, as you say, is a proxy for Iran. Iran helps fund it, but it is not supported by the Lebanese government, right, or a large portion of the Lebanese people. The Israelis argue that the Lebanese army should be joining this fight. Just explain why they're not.
Well, I mean, Hezbollah is it's a mix of different things. On one hand, it's a political party. It's also a militia that operates outside state control and answers to an Iranian agenda and works very closely with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Also a social service network. I mean, they have hospitals, they have pharmacies, they have schools, and they provide that thanks to Iranian funding because the Lebanese do not fund them. It's also an ideology. It's an idea that large segments of the Lebanese, especially Shia, adhere to in terms of the form of governance that they want to seek in Lebanon. And it is a proxy. It is a proxy of Iran. And so Israel keeps saying that there's no solution to the conflict in Lebanon until you disarm Hezbollah. but the Lebanese army lacks the capacities. I think there is now enough support inside Lebanon for the Lebanese army to take over and to disarm Hezbollah. There is still rejection, of course, from Hezbollah and from supporters of Hezbollah for disarmament, but I think there is enough of a critical mass now to do it. The question now is capacities and political consensus. And then the process itself, you know, is going to take time. You cannot disarm a militia that has been operating for so long now, since 1982 in the country, in a matter of months. So it has to be done over a certain period of time with the support of the international community.
Well, Rhonda, a key question now is, of course, can the war in Iran end if Israel and Hezbollah continue fighting? Or will that really just scuttle any plans for peace?
Well, Mr. Netanyahu is saying he wants to separate those two fronts. He said, he keeps saying that the war with Hezbollah is has nothing to do with what's happening between Iran and the United States, and that whatever agreement is struck there between those two parties should not cover the Lebanese front. Iran, on the other hand, is saying we are not going to agree to a deal with the United States until there is a ceasefire on all fronts, especially on Lebanon. And so you have one party, in this case Israel, wanting to de-link these two fronts, and you have the other party, in this case Iran, who wants to link them together. And so Iran keeps insisting that no, we have to link these two together, and you cannot cease fire on one front without cease fire on the other.
So what happens then if Israel and Iran and Hezbollah refuse to stand down? As we mentioned, we've seen this escalation in fighting in the past few days. What do you think comes next?
I think eventually Mr. Trump is going to, he wants the deal. Mr. Trump is obsessed with getting to a deal. And if getting the war front in Lebanon stopped is going to be needed, I think he will work toward that. He will work toward pressuring Mr. Netanyahu to end that conflict. There's already an agreement between them that has been achieved, between Lebanon and Israel, with this idea of pilot projects or pilot areas where they are going to pick certain parts of the south where you have Israeli occupation already, Israeli force occupying that part. So the idea is that according to this agreement, the Israeli forces will start vacating, then the Lebanese army can move in and clear the, you know, the area with the help of the American and the Israelis of any kind, of any Hezbollah military presence, and then residents can come back gradually. And so that's now the plan. Mm-hmm. But then that requires a ceasefire, that requires Hezbollah and Israel not shooting at each other. And so far, we have not seen that take place yet.
So in the end, there will be a deal, but no lasting solution by the sound of it.
I'm really concerned that we are entering, for Lebanon, entering a stage of a never-ending war, to be very honest. And that even if there is a deal between the U.S. and Iran, that will be honored by those two parties, that in the case of Lebanon, I think both Hezbollah and Israel will just stay in that fight for the foreseeable future.
Randa Slim is the director of the Middle East program at the Stimson Center in Washington, D.C. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.